Raise your hand if you enjoy a good mystery. Any mystery lovers out there? I see a few. Okay. I like mysteries. When I was younger, well, actually, recently we have the board game Clue. Anybody play Clue growing up or even recently? It was Professor Plum in the library with the rope. Remember that game? Yeah. There's a lot of strategy to that game. I didn't realize it until I was older and I figured out there's a lot of strategy here, how you take notes on that little card. When I was younger, I didn't know all that. Yeah. How about any reader? Anybody read books anymore? Oh, wow. This is great. There's a lot of good mystery writers out there. Agatha Christie. Any fans of Agatha Christie? All right. Yeah. And Mary Higgins Clark. That's my mother's favorite author. She's pretty good. I like John Grisham. Any Grisham fans out there? Yeah. Yeah. Mystery writers. The best mystery, though, I like are seeing magicians. Any magic fans out there? A couple. Wow. Very few. America's Got Talent. They have a lot of magicians on there. I really love that show, probably because of the magicians. Magician One, one year, a couple years back, Franco, I think his name was. I'm going to set this over here, kind of in the light. David Copperfield, I saw him 10, 12 years ago. Really loved to see him. Made the Statue of Liberty disappear. It was an amazing mystery. David Blaine, a friend of mine and myself went to see him just about a month ago downstate. He's more of a shock magician, though, than a magician. Kind of like sticking things through his arm and through his lip. And it's really weird the way magic is gone. But my favorite is Chris Angel, and he's got a show in Vegas. And my dream would be to see Chris Angel someday because he just blows my mind. Well, I want to try something this morning. I think it's David Blaine always says, I'm going to try something. And I understand why they say I'm going to try something, because it doesn't always work. But I wrote something on a piece of paper, and I'm going to put it in this envelope, and I'm going to seal it up right now and set it over here for you to see. And I'm not going to touch it anymore. And I need a volunteer to help me out with this demonstration. Can I get somebody close to the front to come and volunteer to pick a card? I'm not going to stick anything through your hand or anything. Is it Owen? Come on up, Owen. Or Jackson. Jackson, come on up here, Jackson. Give him a hand while he's coming up. All right. Jackson, I want to show you a card trick, okay? A card trick. It's pretty simple. Like I say, I've made a prediction over there. Let me show you these cards before we get started, okay? So you can see that this is our regular deck of cards there. Okay? And then let me just show everybody over here. You can see these cards. What I'm going to have Jackson do is tell me to stop at some point. Let's step over here so everybody can see. Okay? And this is the hardest part of the trick for me, is dropping these cards and not dropping them on the floor. Okay? But as I drop these cards into my hand, at one point, I just want you to say stop. Okay? See? Yep. Try again. Try again. Here we go. Okay? So as I drop those, you'll say, I want you to say it nice and loud so everybody can hear you. Okay?
Stop.
Right there. All right. Take that card. I'm not going to look. Top card. Just take the top card. Show it to everybody behind my back. Okay? Now put it back on the pile. Down, definitely down. Okay? And I'm going to put the cards back on top there. All right? Now don't tell me what your card was, but it'd be really neat if I could make it come to the top, wouldn't it? It would be neat. It'd be a neat trick. So I'm going to cut this a few times here and see if I can make this card come to the top. All right? All right, right there. Peel that top card off. Was that your card?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's put that. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. I need you. Okay, let's do this a little bit more. A couple few more cuts here, and I can do something amazing. Did you turn one upside down?
No.
Now it's upside down. All right. Well, I made a prediction over there in that envelope. Would you go over and get that envelope and then open that up? Just rip that wide open. I'm not touching it. Wrote on it earlier. There's a piece of paper in there, Jackson. I want you to take that out and then look at it and show everybody else. Five of Hearts. All right. All right. Jackson, I did one more thing. I made it a little bit bigger so people could see it right there. Okay. And if you have a bulletin, take your bulletin out and look at the front page. I'm going to show Jackson right here. If you look at these flowers here, about midway down on the left, there's something printed on the bulletin this Sunday. Five of Hearts. Give him a hand as he takes a seat. I share that with you just to open with a message called The Mystery of Christ. And we're in Ephesians chapter 3 today in the Letters from Prison sermon series. And we find Paul still in prison and he's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he writes in chapter 3, and I invite you, if you have a Bible, and open it up with me. If you have the Bible app on your phone or your tablet, you can follow along by going to the events category in the Bible app. I like to walk you through because we use this most Sundays, but a lot of people come to me and they say, I don't know where I find that, and I don't know how that works. But if you've got your Bible app open and you go to the menu, okay, in the menu you have categories at the bottom. There's home, there's plans, there's me, there's videos, and there's more. Okay, you're going to go under the more category. And there is a list, verse of the day, events, share, help, about. If you go pretty much every week to the events category, and then search for KCC or Kalkaska, you can follow along with the notes and with Andy's sermon pretty much every week. Last week we didn't have it because we didn't have notes for the special speakers. But you can go there. I'm going to make sure I can find mine. Yeah, there it is. The Mystery of Christ. All right. So you can follow along that way. Use your Bible. And, of course, the verse will be up behind me on the screen as well. Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, hyphen. I'm going to pause right there because what happens here is that Paul gets distracted. He gets distracted in his writing. It's as if he's in the movie Up and he sees the squirrel, you know, and he's just going along. You're like, la, 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 squirrel. And so we're going to go from verse 2 into verse 13 on a tangent that Paul goes on. So if anybody ever asks you trigonometry in the Bible, say, yeah, Paul goes on a tangent in Ephesians 3. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. Surely you have heard, this is the tangent, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery. Okay, there's that word. The mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. And that's the title of today's message, The Mystery of Christ. I'm hoping to unpack that a little bit as we progress here. The mystery of Christ, verse 5, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This is something new. They didn't have this in the Old Testament. This is something new that was revealed to Paul through the Holy Spirit. And he's sharing it now. 6. This mystery, there it is that through the gospel, okay, the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, he was very humble man. He says it again and again. This grace was given to me. What is it? To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God. That's what a mystery is. It's something that's hidden. Only a select few people actually know the mystery. That's why magic is mystifying, because you're like, how did he do that? And only a few people know how that's done. And God reveals the mystery here in chapter 3 of Ephesians. God who created all things, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This mystery is tied into two things. It's tied into the church, which is who we are, and it's tied into Jesus Christ, who's our Lord. Okay? 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Okay? Tangents over. He's back to where he started in verse 1. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray, and this is really just a chapter of prayer, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more and measurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to give him glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Man, I wish I could pray like that. That is an amazing prayer. You know, my prayers usually sound like, God, thank you for this day. Help people that are sick. Amen. But these prayers that Paul prays are amazing. Amazing. All right, let's unpack this a little bit. What do I got, an hour, Andy? Is that right? Just kidding. I only need 50 minutes. Just kidding. The mystery of selection, okay? There's a mystery of selection. I just want to bring out that Paul was the one who was selected to deliver this message to the Gentiles. And it doesn't make total sense in my mind that Paul would be the chosen one. The chosen one. But it says in the Message Bible, Ephesians 3:2, that I take it that you're familiar with the part that I was given in God's plan for including everybody. That would be Gentiles. Everybody. Jews and Gentiles. That's everybody. Paul says in the Message Bible, I got the inside story on this from God himself, as I just wrote you in brief. It's a mighty mystery that God used Paul. Not that he wasn't qualified, not that he wasn't educated, but he just didn't seem like the right guy to bringing the gospel to another nation. He was a Jew, after all. He ate Jewish food. He studied Jewish law. He grew up Jewish. You get the idea. And in Acts 22, 3-5, it gives you his credentials. And I want to look at that. Acts 22. I'm using a paper Bible here. This is really good. Times have changed, brothers and sisters. We used to want to hear the papers. There we go. 3-5. 22:3-5. This is what it says about Paul. He says, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Sicily, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel, and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul was a Jew inside and out, and yet God chose him to take a message to the Gentiles. You can ask Jeff and Carol Badgero as missionaries. You can talk to other missionaries that go on a foreign field, that the most effective way to communicate to the people in another country is with their own people. So a lot of times we'll go over to the mission field and we train natives, so they can take the gospel to their own people. Because there's so many barricades. As Americans, there's the culture. We don't speak their language. We don't know their culture. And there's all those barriers between us and them. So the best person is someone who is one of them. But yet Paul was not one of them. So it's strange that God chose him. It's a mystery that God chose Paul to share with the Gentiles. Secondly, I'm mystified that Paul was chosen because he was diametrically opposed to the Christians. He was the one persecuting Christians to their death. And when Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7, he gave his approval and held the coats of those who were throwing the rocks. Wow. And he went on and got letters to find anyone who was belonging to the way, which is what Acts called the early Christians, people that were following the way, that he could take and arrest them and essentially have them put to death. So it's an unusual choice that God would choose Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But yet, that's how God seems to work over and over and over again. He never seems to choose the obvious choice. He never chooses the most powerful or the rich or the influential. If you read through your Bible, you find God using people like David, a little smelly shepherd boy, and raising him up for mighty things. You find him using people like Gideon, who is the least and the less in his family, who's down in a pit threshing the wheat because he's so afraid of the enemy. But God brings him up, calling him a mighty warrior. And God does amazing things through these people. And he works that way yet today. That he chooses the weak and the poor and the underprivileged. And he works through them. He works through me. He works through you. Paul himself wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10 that when I'm weak, I'm strong. What did he mean by that? He meant that when my weakness is evident, God's strength can be visible. And God will work through me. God selected the Gentiles to be partakers in the grace of Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. The Jews are here. And they're saying, this was a private club here. Paul, I'm not really sure that this was God's message. I don't see it written anywhere. And so when Paul went back to the apostles and said, hey, you know what? God revealed to me that now I'm supposed to talk to all the Gentiles and they get to come in the club. Wait a minute here. Time out, the apostles said. And they had a hard time accepting Paul's message that he was to take this message to the Gentiles. And I'm not going to read it, but if you look at the story of the Canaanite women, it's in your notes there, Matthew 15, 21 to 28. It was as if the Jews looked at the Gentiles as dogs. They were less than we are. They were the inferior peoples. We were the chosen ones. And that was the attitude that they had. They felt that this was a members-only club and that the Gentiles had no part of it. The selections of Paul to share the gospel message and the selection of allowing the Gentiles to hear the gospel message is somewhat of a mystery. In Romans 16, we can read again where the author writes, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes through faith. The only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. God revealed this mystery to Paul. This mystery, point two, is a mystery of inclusion. It's a mystery of inclusion in your notes. It's a mystery that the Gentiles were now included in God's promises, in God's future, in God's plan for mankind. And back to our chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, Paul writes and says, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. Okay, it wasn't written in the law books. It wasn't in the Torah. It was revealed to him through revelation, as I've written to you briefly, he said. In verse 4, Paul says, in reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to other people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and the prophets. By revelation. Paul came to be a Christian, remember, after Jesus' resurrection. When Jesus was living and teaching, Paul was not a fan, if I can borrow Kyle Eidelman's sermon series, not a fan. Paul was not a fan at all, of Jesus Christ. He met Jesus supernaturally when he was on the road to Damascus, ironically, seeking letters that he could take and arrest the Christians. And that's when the bright light hit and came from the sky, and Paul fell to his knees and cried out, "Lord, Lord, who are you?" And Jesus said, "I'm the one you're persecuting. You're not persecuting men and women. You're persecuting me." And so for 3 days he was blind and led by hand until he went into the city where he was baptized. And his life was totally turned around, and God used him from that point on. Paul says, "I didn't get this from a textbook. I didn't get this from Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or even Snapchat. I was given this through revelation from God himself." It wasn't made known to other generations. I think it's because it was hidden, because God's timing is not our timing, and it was the timing of God of when to reveal this mystery, and the timing was ripe here back in the first century. It was revealed by the Spirit, Paul said, God's Holy Spirit who indwells in Christians today, to God's holy apostles and prophets. These are the apostles who wrote in the Bible, and we can read about their lives in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and into Acts. And the apostles, or the prophets who had written long ago, they had written alluding to this mystery, but they weren't really aware of what they were writing about. They wrote as God inspired them to write. So, finally, we look at this was the original plan from the beginning. Okay, just like my little trick here, I had some prophetic writings here. I had something done ahead of time because I knew what was going to happen, or I hoped that I knew what was going to happen. And God it doesn't do magic tricks. God knows what's going to happen because he built the whole thing. He created us. He made us. He set things into motion. And if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, we can read that God made a promise to Abraham. In Genesis 12, 2 and 3, he says, "I'll make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." And here's the key: "And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, it wasn't clear back then, but we can look, having hindsight, 20/20 vision, and see, oh yeah, he said right there, all the nations were going to be included. And Paul would be revealing that mystery so many thousands of years later. And in Galatians 3:8, Paul pretty much confirms it. He says, "What's more, the scriptures look forward to the time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith." Okay, God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." See, Paul's trying to take all these loose ends and tying them together so that we can see the mystery has been unveiled. The final mystery is the mystery of equality. The mystery of equality. Not only would the Gentiles be invited into fellowship with the Jews, but they would have equal footing with the Jews. And again, for a nation that looked at another nation like dogs, this was hard for the Jews to accept. Well, we've always been Dad's favorite. I can't believe that you're letting them in here and giving them the same privileges they're given to us. But that's the truth. That's what happened. In Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, it's written, there's one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you're called. We have one Lord, don't we? We have one faith. We have one baptism. One God and Father of all people. Who is over all and through all and in all. And again in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Gentile anymore. There's neither slave nor free anymore. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We are all one. And there's one body. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. So, what's this mean to us today? I mean, is there any application here to be found at all? Let me ask you a question. Are you Jews or are you Gentiles? How many would say Jews? And you might be of the race. Dean mentions this a lot. How many of you are Gentiles? Okay, so this message is directly relevant for us. We are the ones who've been included at the end here. We're the ones who've been grafted in, the Bible says. We've been brought into the fellowship. We've been brought into the body, brought into the church. We're the ones that Jesus talks about the parable where he says, hey, you know what? I had this banquet all set up and I've got the tables and the place, the settings and the food's prepared. And I've invited everybody to come in. But they're not coming. So why don't you go out to the streets and find anybody you can find and invite them in? And that's us. We were outside of the covenant and we were brought in to the house to make it full. If you use the illustration of a ball team, you could say, you know what? Before there were tryouts, you already were on the list. God already put you on the list before the tryouts even happened. Or at the airport, let's say the boarding calls out and you're waiting for your flight. You know what the airport PA says? It says, you know what? Everybody can board. First class can board. Business class can board. People needing extra time, you can board. Anybody can board. Standby passengers, you can board. Everybody can board. And you know what? Everybody gets a seat. And we're not going to come around and kick you out of your seat. Everybody gets to go. We're all together on this flight. And my favorite would be Oprah. Oprah has a show every year. I don't usually get to watch it, but she gives away things. And I know she's famous for saying, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. Everybody gets a car. And that's what this gospel is. Paul says, you know what? Everybody is included in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul comes back from his tangent there like Dorothy waking up from her dream in the Wizard of Oz. And we pick it up in verse 14. And I'm just going to read it again because I love this prayer. I love this prayer. He says, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that what? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people. We're not alone. We're in this together. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you might be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. This love is it's just all encompassing. It's deeper than the deepest sea. It's higher than the highest sky. It's wider and longer than you can imagine. John said it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It encompasses everything. God is love. Breaks it right down. And then he wraps it up at the end. He wraps it up, and we use this a lot of times as a doxology or at the prayer at the end, but he says, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine." I love to pause right there because I can imagine things and you can imagine things. And I try to imagine sometimes what heaven will be like, you know, and I've got these thoughts in my head and I don't know if they'll be true or not. But I think, you know, that verse kind of says, if I can imagine them, probably it's possible because God says, I'm going to do even more than you can imagine. So I imagine that after I go to heaven, I might be able to come back to earth and come back and pop in at different times in history and be there when Michael Jordan's in the NBA playoffs and watch him shoot the winning shot and just come back throughout points of in history and see wonderful events happen. But I think about God and that he created this earth in 6 days and that he's been working on it for thousands of years now. Heaven has been working on that. And I'm blown away with that thought. And it ends with saying, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. I hope you've been able to grasp this mystery of Jesus Christ and know that it's not something that's just in an old archaic book, that it's alive and active and that Paul presented it and it's something even today we can accept. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus and have that relationship with him, we would love to speak with you, Andy or myself, or both of us will be over by the cross. We'd love to talk to you more about that, this mystery that came to Jesus Christ. Would you stand with us, please?